This is Views of the News, brought to you as a public service by this station. Views of the News is a regular series of discussions on vital issues of today. Here now is your moderator, John Metzler.
Will there be unity between the Eastern Orthodox churches and Rome? Reverend John Hardin, professor of theology at New York St. John's University, answers this fascinating question. Father Hardin, author of The Religions of the World, as well as The Protestant Churches in America, is one of the leading authorities on issues facing the church throughout the world. Good having you on the program, Father Hardin.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
Father, when we're talking about Orthodoxy and Rome, precisely what are we defining as Orthodox? Is this the Greek Orthodox Church so many Americans are familiar with, or is it a different group of churches? Maybe we could just speak about that a little bit now.
Well, Orthodoxy, by the people's own definition, means right worship, the true faith. The term was coined in the early centuries in the East to distinguish those Christians, Eastern Christians, who believed in Christ's divinity, in the Trinity, and in the two natures in Christ, human and divine. And the others then were called heterodox or unorthodox.
So you had Orthodox and unorthodox, in fact. Now, where did the movement start? Had this been in Greece?
The movement actually began already at the beginning of the 4th century at the Council of Nicaea in 325, at which time the bishops were contending with a man by the name of Arius. After Arius was condemned, these Christians who denied Christ's divinity splintered into a variety of groups, some with unpronounceable names. But the one thing they've had in common ever since is their denial that Jesus, who is man, is also true God. We might say then, the Orthodox are those who insist on Christ being God.
Now today, some 1,000 plus years later after this, in fact, what are the Orthodox churches defined as? What ones would be considered Orthodox and then, of course, Roman Catholic?
Well, the Orthodox churches would be those churches in the Eastern Christian tradition who subscribe to the first seven general councils of the church. They are the ones who believe, as I mentioned earlier, in Christ's divinity, his having a divine and human nature, who believe in the Trinity, and who believe that the second person is identical in nature with the first person in the Trinity.
So this is very similar, then, to the Roman Catholic belief.
It is.
Where's the point of disagreement, so to speak?
Well, the disagreement developed in the 9th, 10th, and 11th centuries, at which time there were first political problems and eventually even theological ones, where eventually the so-called Eastern separated Christians separated from Rome because they denied the primacy of the Bishop of Rome.
The Pope.
The Pope.
And so this split has continued. Now, not that long ago, the Pope John Paul II had visited Turkey and had a wonderful reception by the Ankara government. One of the reasons he had, of course, gone to Turkey was to begin to heal the rift between East and West, so to speak. Now, maybe you'd want to speak about that a little bit and tell us some of the ramifications of the Turkish visit of the Pope.
Well, the Pope chose Turkey mainly, I suppose, because the Patriarch Demetrios I was and is there. And the Holy Father met with him as a symbolic gesture that after all these centuries of division, the Roman Catholic and the Eastern Orthodox churches should once more re-examine their differences, resolve them as far as possible, and face the world as a united Eastern and Western Christianity.
Well, this is really the surprising thing to me because, of course, having a Polish pope, in other words, somebody from the East, this is in a way serving as a bridge between the Eastern and the Western churches. And in effect, would you say that this will possibly bring about a reconciliation?
I am very confident. I've read the statements of Pope John Paul II. I read the statements of the Orthodox Patriarch. And I must say, on both sides, there is not only a willingness, but even an eagerness to melt the differences, although both recognized, especially Dimitrios, recognized that the basic difference relative to the Roman primacy of the Pope remains.
So there's not, what we're saying is there's not going to be a compromise as much as there is just perhaps extra contact, and through that contact there'll be a, could we say, a smoothing of the path.
Yes, although I would add this. I really believe that the difference between Rome and, say, Constantinople or the Eastern Orthodox churches is not so sharply doctrinal on the primacy as it used to be.
I see.
And that for two reasons. First, on the side of the Orthodox, they see more than ever the need for united Christianity to face the threat of atheist communism.
Well, that's one of the important points also, because a number of articles have been alluding to the fact that if there is going to be any weakening of the Soviet power in Eastern Europe, it's going to come through the church, not only in Eastern Bloc countries such as Poland or Hungary, but in Russia itself. And one of the things, of course, when we're talking about the church in Russia, a lot of people are under the impression that there is a certain amount of religious freedom. At least the Soviets are saying this, and a lot of Americans are beginning to believe it. Now, maybe you could discuss the church in Russia, in effect, the Orthodox Church, and then show us any tie-in there might be.
Well, I would distinguish within the Russian Orthodox Church in Russia between its leaders and the rank and file. My own background is Byzantine. My first prayer book was in Russian script. My mother belonged to the Catholic Byzantine Church. And consequently, over the years, I have been in frequent contact, at least by correspondence and also even personally, with people from Russia or Soviet-occupied countries. And I would say the vast majority, unless they have been thoroughly indoctrinated, are religious and would welcome, I really believe they would welcome, a rapport between Rome and the Orthodox churches. But the leaders, unlike the people, I'm speaking of the religious leaders, in many ways, they are, if not puppets, at least they are so subservient to the Soviet government that you're never quite sure whether what they're expressing is their own sincere judgment or simply voicing, you might say, the mind of Moscow.
Well, this is similar in China as well, where certain leaders of the church have, should we say, been anointed almost by the Communist Party.
Exactly.
And they're representing a church, but maybe we should put that word in quotes because it's not really a church. But how about the Russian Orthodox Church outside of Russia, outside of the confines of the Soviet Union?
Well, I would say the Russian Orthodox Church outside of Moscow is, in many ways, the strongest force against communism outside of communist countries.
So this is called what precisely? The Synod of Bishops?
Well,
the Russian Orthodox Church outside of Russia.
Well, there are patriarchates, in other words. A patriarchate corresponds to a certain number of bishops who are responsible to the patriarch. Now, there is a patriarchate of Moscow, which, of course, is subject to the patriarch in Moscow. But there are many people, and I dare say the majority of people, who, although genetically came from Russia and have linguistic ties with their home country, but juridically or canonically, they are not sympathetic with their own religious leaders back in Russia.
I see. So, in fact, the Russian Orthodox Church here in the United States remains a repository of the Russian culture as well as religious free life.
And, I would say, and quite not only indifferent to, but even highly critical of and unsympathetic with the Moscow Church, especially insofar as it is, and it has for years, compromised in so many religious matters with the government.
So this is a very important thing for Americans to see, that the church that remains in Moscow then is essentially a puppet of the regime.
In many ways an enslaved church, the church of silence, the church of suffering, and as I know over the years, a church of martyrs. I do not hesitate saying the thousands, perhaps even millions, of the Orthodox people since 1918 have literally laid down their lives for their faith.
And this is within the confines of the Soviet Union, the martyrs of Orthodoxy.
Exactly.
Aside from that, we also, in looking at America's rich ethnic heritage, find Ukrainians throughout this country, Serbians throughout this country, Romanians throughout the land, and looking in different parts of the U.S., especially in states such as Ohio or Illinois, one finds so many of the Byzantine Rite churches or the Orthodox churches. And maybe you just want to give us a quick breakdown of some of the larger churches that are Orthodox here in the United States, maybe starting with Ukrainians.
Well, the Ukrainians would, of course, be part of the non-Greek and non-Russian, because there are, I would say, at least 10 patriarchates that are not strictly either Greek or Russian, and such would be the Ukrainian, who have been very faithful to their Orthodox heritage, but juridically have no relationship, really, either with Moscow or with Constantinople.
So they are part of the Roman Catholic Church.
Well, I would distinguish, well, they may be. In other words, culturally, there are Ukrainian Catholics and Ukrainian Orthodox. Culturally, there are Greek Catholics, as we call them, and Greek Orthodox. That is, their language and their culture may be the same. But those that are called the Uniates, a term, by the way, which they prefer not to use or have used about them, because it seems to cast some doubt about their loyalty to the Holy See. It's better to call, say, the Ukrainians Catholics of the Eastern Rite.
And Eastern Rite does mean the Roman Catholic Church.
Yes, because Rite, R-I-T-E, refers to the ritual or the liturgical stance which a church takes. It is Catholic insofar as it is submissive to and loyal to the Holy See, and it is then either Ukrainian or Russian or whatever, insofar as the ritual or the rite followed is that which goes back to before the break between the East and the West.
Just as a general figure, how many Eastern Rite churches would there be in the United States? How many denominations?
Well, I would judge at least a dozen.
That many?
Worldwide, there are about 15, more or less, called autocephalous patriarchates, having their own head of the church, who then is in charge, more or less, at least has a jurisdiction of honor. No real authority the patriarchs don't have, unlike our Pope, where the people do cluster around a certain patriarchate, about 10 or so in the United States.
And these are people primarily of ethnic origin from Eastern Europe?
Yes. For example, Serbia.
Or Romania.
Romania, Bulgaria, Ukraine, and of course, Hungary, Lithuania, and so on.
Father, if you could give us any overall view on this matter, what do you think the future is in short term between Rome and the Eastern Orthodox churches? Will there be this reconciliation in a short term, or will it be very long?
I think it's going to be short term. And short term because already at the Second Vatican Council, for the first time in 900 years, the Roman Catholic Church has encouraged Catholics to associate with the Orthodox.
Well, thank you so much, Father, for being on the program. We've been discussing with Father John Hardin the issues of the Eastern Orthodox Churches and the Roman Catholic Church. If you are interested in this program or want additional information, please write Key to Happiness, 86 Riverside Drive, New York, New York, 10024. That's Key, 86 Riverside Drive, New York, New York, 10024. Until the next time, this is John Metzler.
Views of the News is a regular series with moderator John Metzler and brought to you as a public service by this station.